was a time I had the right key. Rolled the tumbler, slid the bolt on every wandering eye I caught. But something has changed, this is all wrong. I'm out here in the cold with a wet face, so rattle in your locks. There ain't nothing new about the world that I ain't learned from just standing here in this spot. Ain't nothing new about the world.
Josh Ritter's albums, which include The Animal Years, The Historical Conquests of Josh Ritter, and So Runs the World Way, all feature his unique narrative approach to songwriting. So it may not come as a surprise to his fans that he's decided to try his hand at writing a book. His debut novel, Bright's Passage, tells the story of Henry Bright, a man from a coal mining town in West Virginia who's just returned home from fighting in the trenches of France during World War I, but to a home that brings him no peace. It's published by the Dial Press, and I'm very pleased that it has brought Josh Ritter to our show today. Hello.
Hello. Thanks for having me on.
Now, your songs often incorporate storytelling in some way. One song on your latest album is about a mummy who falls in love with the archaeologist who digs him up. Did you feel frustrated by having to work in such a short form?
I think with a song, you're holding back a huge amount of water with some kind of a, say, saran wrap or something. You know it's back there, and it's kind of bulging against this. And the tension in a song is how much can you say with as few words as possible. And I guess that's something that I've always loved. But
it's like writing the shortest of short stories.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. And that every word has this ability to hint at other things and other situations. I've always loved that, you know, the concision of it.
Well, many times when musicians want to deal with bigger themes, they do a concept album. Did this book start off in as a song or as a musical thought?
You know, it did. Yeah, it started out as a song, which I felt a little bit like, you know, Dumbo and the magic feather. You know, it was my idea was that I could start off on this enterprise, writing a novel because I had this song that was there in front of me, and I had the synopsis almost of the plot, and it was for me to flesh it out and kind of add meat back to the bones. But as by the second page, that had just totally changed, and for the better, and the idea was clear. The path wasn't, and it was a really exciting experience to realize that these characters do take on a life. The story takes on a life of its own. You follow along, and I guess
so. Is the angel in the song?
The angel is in the song in a way.
Forgive me, all of you, for giving away a basic plot point that we'll get to later.
No, yeah, the angel. The song began began with the idea of a man who hears instructions from something that might be an angel on a very. In a very fickle way, you know. He'll get instructions sometimes and not at others, and that was the idea. From there it was something I wanted to explore more.
Although I'm surprised that you just didn't start writing short stories, you went right to the big one, the novel.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I feel that songs are, you know, when I write a novel or when I write an album, the songs are interlocking pieces. There's always, you know, it's a catalog of whatever your obsessions and your preoccupations are at the time, and those obsessions and preoccupations dovetail into one another, so that an album is a collection of short stories that has a larger kind of theme. With a novel, it's like you're taking kind of one larger theme and just kind of exploding it, you know, for me, in my mind.
You wrote a series on your blog, which was called Book of Jubilations, about your experiences in the music business. And one piece of advice you gave about songwriting is to always use a sturdy notebook and a pen so you can't erase what you're going to write down.
Yeah.
And is that the way you approach the novel?
Absolutely, yeah.
But you were doing this while you were touring with an album.
In a lot of ways, it's the best time to do it, you know. I think that I've had stretches of time where I haven't had a lot to do except write, and I always look forward to those, but that's never been my most productive time because I feel that you're trying to sneak stuff in. You have stuff that you're doing, and you're working away, and there's the little things that you have to do every day, all kinds of stuff. And then if you get a few minutes to write down a few lines or a verse or whatever, my approach to writing was that I was going to write every morning for a certain amount of time until the book was done, until the story was done, and then I would worry about editing.
Well, a lot of songwriters talk about how they wrote that song at this Holiday Inn on the tour, and then they wrote another one at the other Holiday Inn in Ames, Iowa, and then there was that one in Madison, Wisconsin.
Totally. It's a great...
Well, they finished writing it in San Francisco.
Yeah, yeah. It's amazing. It's
so
amazing
where did the novel's protagonist, Henry Bright, come from?
Originally, the idea for him was just the look in his eye. I wanted a person who I thought was a normal, sweet, normal person who had seen little of the world, as little of the world as any of us, you know, at this point in history. You know, I feel that this period, going into the First World War, no one in the world knew what that was and how off the leash this beast had become, you know. The technology, the gas, the guns, these things that had the power to wipe out whole countries, and you know, it seemed possible to wipe out whole civilizations and whole cultures. And Henry Bright was this character who was just a normal person who wandered into the middle of this storm and was trying to figure out how he ended up there and how he was gonna get back from that.
Had you always been interested in World War I history?
No, I hadn't necessarily, but it was this, and I feel in our history, in American history, it's this specter at the edges. You know, there's a gray period before the Second World War, and before the Great Depression, where after Teddy Roosevelt, there's this period we don't really seem to talk about. In my mind, I don't feel that that's being talked about a lot, and it's a period that I got really interested in because it just seemed more and more as I read that it was the root of so much of our last 100 years.
Well, one of the most predictable questions a first-time novelist gets is, how autobiographical is this? You're not going to get that question here. I mean, I would have expected you to write something about being a touring musician, but here we have this man who enlisted to fight in World War I. He comes back to his wife dying in childbirth on the first page, which makes him the sole caretaker of his newborn son. And that's only the beginning of his problems. Does this come out of a family legend?
The chance to make things up is so exciting, and when you, I feel like in the same way as a record, a novel, you get the chance to stand on the kind of the prow of the boat and look out at this huge continent that no one has ever seen before, and it just, you know, you could spend time describing your own street or you know, your whatever you have in your refrigerator or whatever emotional problems you think you might have, and then or you could just stand on the edge of the ship and try to describe this jungle and this thing you see, and to me that's what a story is, whether it's a novel or a song, is this beautiful, big, scary place that only you know about, and to me, like, autobiography, it just pales in every way to that.
Well, you didn't even set it in your home state of Idaho.
No.
You went to West Virginia here. He spends most of the book taking orders from, Henry Bright does, from the angel who lives in the body of his horse, and the angel predicts that his son will become the new Messiah. Is Henry suffering from PTSD or shell shock, as it was called in those days?
I think that's the real tension and the most fun part about writing. The most enjoyable was the angel. Was writing about the angel and who was the angel, because he's never I don't really know, like, whether Henry has post-traumatic stress or or whether this was really an angel. You know, any way that it happens, I've always loved the idea that angels, when they come into a situation, it's never necessarily a good thing. You know, they're never, you know, they're all in the Bible. They are not always. Think, you know, things that something's going to hit the fan, you know.
On the other hand, if you resist the angel, you're in trouble too.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, he tries to resist the angel in almost every turn, but usually ends up doing what he's told, like the biblical prophets.
Yeah.
Does blindly following the angel's orders bring him any success?
I would say that, you know, I think that Henry Bright has come home from this life-shattering and life-altering experience, which he has no real ability to communicate to anybody, and that his trip is this chance to try and leave this all behind him and really come back home. What the clear goals of his journey are really only known to the angel and whatever that angel is. You know?
Well, obviously, you think a lot about religious teachings. Mm-hmm. We opened with Rattling Locks, a song that guesses that heaven must be hotter than the Bible tells you. And I get a feeling that you believe there's kind of a blurred line between good and evil, at least more than the traditional religious thought might let on.
Well, that's, I think, the most interesting question in art at all is what are the answers to the big questions, you know? And I feel that that's what science is about, that's what literature is about, music. Where do we go? And you know, my major problem, I would say, with established religion that doesn't allow us to ask questions, is that it takes away any chance for us to ask those questions and have books and have music and art, you know.
Well, you're the child of scientists.
Yes,
not
yeah.
Clergy.
Yeah, yeah. I remember my parents have always told, you know, have always told us, my brother and I, my brother who is a computer scientist, they've always told us that we are, you know, music or whatever we do, you know, is about understanding larger human problems. And those come about because humans have problems, not because we're on some sort of kind of austere quest. You know, we're just trying to muddle through and figure things out. And I really respect that. I really believe that. I think, you know, there's people, I was studying to become a scientist as well.
A neuroscientist.
Yeah, and the people that were always the most interesting to me were the stories of these scientists rather than necessarily the science itself. I loved Newton and Wren and, you know, some of these devoutly religious people who were mostly trying to, you know, struggling with that tension between wanting to know everything and feeling like you weren't supposed to ask the questions. Luckily, we live now in an age when it is okay to ask those questions and important to ask, and it's our responsibility to ask them, you know.
And you, is that what led you to leave neuroscience and major in folk music?
Well, I'd say that failing organic chemistry led me to embrace the life of a musician. But
so are you going to be writing more novels, do you think?
Yes, definitely. I feel kind of like, you know, like a kind of a horse who's been standing in a field and looks up and sees a whole other field, you know, filled with grass, and I want to go over there more, you know.
Well, I can tell you this. You may not be one of those musicians who complains about doing all the touring, but so many musicians do, and writers complain about the book tours.
Yeah.
So either way.
I love touring. I love it. It is the informing thing in my life is the chance to travel around. I remember reading early on Blue Highways by William Least Heat Moon, which is one of my favorite books, and just reminding you that America is a big weird place that's stitched together and changes gradually as you travel, and to just enjoy that. And I have met the best people on the road, and it has given me the time to like write music and write books.
He traveled by boat, and Henry Bright here travels by horse.
Yeah,
Is actually an angel, but congratulations.
Thank
it's
you
very
much.
Hard to write a novel, you know. I'm sure
I
you figured
it.
That out.
Yes, I did, yes.
Bright's Passage is published by who? By
Father Dial Press. Yeah.
And I want to thank you, Josh Ritter, for being on our show. Maybe next time you'll come by, we'll talk about music.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me here.
He opens his eyes, falls in love at first sight with the girl in the doorway. What beautiful lines, how full of life after thousands of years. What a face to wake up to. He holds back a sigh as she touches his arm. She does so.